the hype of random number generators throwing knuckleballs. Heath is now the oldest host. Scott likes using GIFs the most. Adam loves ERA and auto-tunes himself this way. Paxton's regression screams. Brooklyn's got a winning team. Liam Hendricks, Brad Hand. Mike Trout plays near Disneyland. Stats from spring training. Daily play is a rating. What's the ceiling? Bank on ceiling. Can I get a...
All right, exciting time of year. Playoffs beginning in some of my leagues. Regular season wrapping up in some. I guess it's kind of the same thing. Hello, I guess I meant like there's like one or two regular season weeks left in one of my leagues. Heath, you know what I'm trying to say, right? Great intro. Great intro.
I may be the only person in America that knows what you're trying to say. And I know exactly what you're trying to say. We've got much more exciting things to talk about than this.
Oh, like what?
Your new segments that I can't wait for.
Oh, yeah. Two new segments right off the top of the show. I hate Scott White and I hate Chris Towers. Neither of them are here to defend themselves. Which is even
Thankfully.
Better. Yeah, right.
The show is always better when they're not here because we hate them.
You know I hate Chris Towers today, but do you know why I hate Scott White?
Because he was bad-mouthing Patrick Mahomes on Twitter?
No, I have no problem with that. Because he picked up a player that I wanted to pick up. We put in the same exact bid on him in the Roto League. He has 1.5 more fantasy more points in that Roto League. Not fantasy points, but Roto points. I don't understand why he won the tiebreaker.
Is this the league that that I am winning?
It is the league you're winning.
Is this the player that you tweeted about over the weekend?
I did.
I quote tweeted you with tweets from April?
It is. It is.
Okay. Okay. Good.
$2 Delino to Shields. You gotta get Delino to Shields right now. This guy steals a ton of bases. He's leading off. Carlos Gomez is on the DL. And Scott got him for $2. I put in the same bid. Why did he win? I don't understand what the tiebreaker is.
I believe there's a waivers order, right?
Maybe. Yeah, probably. I mean, it's Fab, and he's beating me. So I would have thought that I would have waiver priority, but I guess it's maybe whoever made a recent pickup goes to the back of the line. And I've been adding a lot of guys lately. I think there's a lot of players to talk about today, a lot of players to add.
Yeah, there is definitely a waivers order. Just looking at that, and you are now ahead of Scott by one spot, but
oh,
you
great.
Are in eighth. So there are seven people ahead of you.
Well, it's, yeah. Well, anyway, I hate Scott. I hate Chris. I mean, what was he thinking? What was he thinking?
I don't have any idea. He should be publicly shamed.
He's about to be.
You're about to do that.
He's
Good.
About to be. Editorial League, playoffs. Playoffs were already underway. They started last week. He made two transactions last night. He picked up Chad Kuhl and Blake Snell. I don't know why he picked up Chad Kuhl. I mean, Kuhl's been pitching better lately. Snell's more interesting. He's like less than 30% owned. But Chris, you didn't make the playoffs. You're not automatically in the playoffs now because you missed for 1 week. Like, what are you doing picking up players?
Maybe he thought he had a bye.
Yeah, he definitely did not have a bye.
You're
like, bye, you're not in the playoffs, dude.
You had a bye in that league. You
I did.
Didn't play, but you still picked people up.
I did.
Maybe
I did.
He thought it was a similar situation where he didn't play last week, but now it was his turn to play in the playoffs.
I don't know what happened there with Chris Towers. Major faux pas, but I had to put those players back into free agency. And who did you add and drop? Any? Because, man, I got a lot. Anybody interesting for you?
I don't think I have as many as you do. I saw your list, and I'm like, wow, you were like adding and dropping and adding and dropping, and I was not doing that much of any of it.
Well, I added Luke Weaver. He's 32% owned. So it's 8 o'clock in the morning. This is the earliest we've recorded, so I don't have my singing voice yet, so I will not be singing Luke Weaver to everybody. I dropped Ivan Nova in the head-to-head points league for Luke Weaver, who is facing the Padres at home this week. And I think I'm going to go ahead and start him.
Yeah, I could see a situation where I would. I don't think he's a must-start by this week.
I agree.
Because there's still question marks about Luke Weaver.
There are. He's pitched well, and of course it is the Padres. I'm going to start him over a one-start Alex Cobb coming off the DL, a one-start Sean Manaea at Baltimore.
Yep.
Now I have an interesting decision to make with Marco Estrada. Home against Minnesota, but I think I'm going to start both of them and leave those other two guys, Cobb and Manaea, on my bench. I picked up Curtis Granderson. Granderson's been hitting righties well this year. He's on fire right now. He's playing for the Dodgers. He's going to score a lot of runs or drive in a lot of runs. I dropped Trey Mancini, who had a bad week. And look, I'm playing week to week right now. Granderson's got seven right-handed pitchers this week. Not a lot of teams. I don't think that many teams are playing seven games. I didn't notice that many anyway. But Granderson's got seven. Not to say he'll start all seven. But seven righties this week for Granderson, who's red hot. I'm starting him over two guys that I actually want. I have a segment called I'm Considering Sitting. I'll talk about them a little bit more. But I'm starting Granderson over Conforto and Brett Gardner this week. I added Dellin Betances in a 14-team head-to-head points league. I'm not sure I'm going to start him. I think he'll get most of the saves. I don't think he'll get all of the saves while Chapman figures it out, if he can. I tried to add Delino to Shields, but I couldn't. I added Ian Happ in a categories league. So here's the thing about this guy, Ian Happ and Evan Gattis, another guy I added. Ownership percentage doesn't mean quite as much right now. A lot of players are out of it. A lot of players in your league, rather, fantasy owners are out of it. Or the playoffs have started. So Ian Happ is widely owned, but he was available. Evan Gattis is still widely owned, but somebody dropped him. Now's the time to take a look. I mean, Trey Turner starting a rehab assignment. I doubt anyone dropped him or Carlos Correa, but take a look. Just because a guy is 80-85% owned doesn't mean he's not available in your league.
Somebody in my 10-team categories league on a different website dropped Travis Shaw.
Pick him up.
I don't know why. But yes, quickly made that waiver claim. I picked up Cameron Rupp, which I was not excited about at all, but it's a two-catcher league, and he's been getting a majority of the playing time, and I needed a second catcher for this week. So yay that. I did pick up the guy you're always talking about.
Delino de Shields.
Ulys Chacin.
Oh, you got a home start?
He is projected next week
to
have two starts. And I'm in the playoffs this week, but I feel pretty good about my chances in the head-to-head auction league. So I'm planning for next week.
You know, a lot of guys are picking up Lucas Giolito. He's getting called up. He'll make his White Sox debut tomorrow. We have him listed as a one-start pitcher. I don't know. They have a doubleheader this week. I don't know what they're doing with their rotation. But he could pitch Tuesday, and his next turn would theoretically be on Sunday. Right now, I'm assuming Giolito's a one-start guy with Minnesota. If he gets a second start, it would be Detroit. Both would be at home. Giolito has been awesome his last, like, six starts or so in the minors, but I don't really have much faith in him. I don't think he has great stuff. I was extremely unimpressed last year when I saw Giolito, and I think the Nationals were too, and they gave him away for what people thought was a steal, but I don't know. Giolito's had a bad year in the minors. He's turned it on recently. I'd rather start Luke Weaver than Lucas Giolito. How about you?
It's so much of that depends on whether it's two starts or not.
I'd rather start a one-start Weaver.
I don't know about that. I am picking up Lucas Giolito as we talk.
In the
For the People podcast league.
Oh, okay. Well,
I know you. I don't know if you're still making transactions in that league or not.
I hope not. We had a beautiful finish to the For the People podcast league.
Well, there's one more week left.
Oh, there is?
Yes.
Oh, come on. Can you just let us end it, please?
And
0-7-3 last week.
Are probably going to miss the playoffs just like you. But we are currently in a four-team race for the final two spots, going up against the best team in the league.
Well, who's gonna have a better draft pick next year? What's the point of just missing the playoffs, Heath? We tanked. We were wise.
Do you think Scott is going to protest beforehand and say he doesn't want to share a team with anybody next year?
I let Scott do most of the work, so I don't think he can blame me for this.
No, I don't think he really can. He can really just blame the construct of this league.
Tough league,
it was clearly devised to baffle him.
Tough league. 16-team leagues are tough. I don't care what the format is. All right, so people are going to be adding Giolito. I get it. Highly touted prospect. And I think just one start, but potentially two starts this week. I'll tell you who I'm considering sitting this week. Okay, Conforto I am going to sit. Three lefties on the schedule, plus Steven Strasburg. No Scherzer, but tough for him. And I'm sitting him for Granderson. Brett Gardner, terrible pitchers on the Yankee schedule this week, but three lefties. He's batting .208 against lefties. Gardner is slugging .293 in August. He's been terrible, and that was with a cheap home run around the pesky pole yesterday. I'm sitting Gardner for Ryan Zimmerman. I'm not sitting either of these two guys, but I think you could consider it because they're on the road all week, Jonathan Lucroy and Trevor Story. And then I would say the most difficult decision for fantasy owners this week, Heath, Nelson Cruz. He has been red hot. He might not play three games at Atlanta this week. They talked about they're not sure if they want to use him in the outfield. They got to keep him healthy.
Right.
He's their DH. I'm guessing he'll start
at first base.
I don't know. I don't
know. Anybody can play first base.
I can't imagine sitting Nelson Cruz. I don't know, man. At Atlanta, at the Yankees, six games. Might only start three of them. It's possible. What would you do?
It would, like in a three team or a three outfielder league, I would say I'm probably sitting him.
I can't promise you that he's not going to start in the outfield all three times. Like he might,
no.
but based on what the quote I read yesterday, he probably won't. He might start like one game there. He's going to pinch hit, I'm assuming, in every game.
I would be doing a lot of Google searching late into the afternoon, looking for some Mariners beat writer to have some information on Nelson Cruz. I've got a really tough decision here for this week, since we've talked about all the guys you're sitting. Tell me who you would start out of this group.
Okay.
Sonny Gray at home against Seattle, one start. Danny Salazar at home against Kansas City. Jose Berrios against the White Sox. Dylan Bundy against the Athletics.
Very interesting note on Dylan Bundy. So they skipped him in the rotation because he's pitched much better on extended rest. And he's going to be on quite a lot of rest facing the best opponent in that bunch. I would go with... That is really tough, Heath. I think they're all starts. I would go with Sonny Gray.
And see, I feel pretty good about my team this week. I've got two-start Aaron Nola, two-start Carlos Rodon, two-start Taijuan Walker, two-start John Gray on the road, both starts.
Yeah, I'd go Gray, but I accept any decision you make.
I appreciate that.
What are you going to go with?
I will decide later today.
Okay, the Mariners play tonight at 7:35. So hopefully you'll be able to find out if Cruz is in the lineup, and that might sway you one way or another. All right, time to say something stupid, Heath. It's time to jinx my favorite baseball team. I'm getting excited about purchasing a New York Yankees playoff ticket. They will be hosting the wild card game. I'm sure of it. And just like I was 2 years ago, I will be there for this one. And when I go, I'll be using SeatGeek. And you can save $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase with our promo code FANTASY. Now, we all know how complicated buying tickets online can be. If you want to find the best deals, you have to shop around. You can't just go to one place. Actually, you can go to one place now, as long as that place is SeatGeek. So download the app right now and search for an event. And what's going to happen? SeatGeek will search multiple ticket sites for you, do all the price comparison, so you know you're going to find the best price. SeatGeek makes it really easy to find a good value and buy the tickets with just two taps on your phone, just a few taps, and you're there. You've got your tickets. Every purchase is fully guaranteed. You can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. It's a great app. I tell people about SeatGeek all the time. If they have to go to a game or a concert or comedy or theater or whatever it is, I say download the SeatGeek app. I seriously do, because I use it myself, and use our promo code FANTASY. So yeah, if you want to save $10, download the SeatGeek app right now. Enter the promo code FANTASY. That's promo code FANTASY for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All right, the big news, Curtis Granderson to the Dodgers. Adrian Gonzalez is also back. Now, the Dodgers had the DH all weekend, so I don't know exactly what their lineup's going to look like. Plus, Cody Bellinger is day-to-day. And Jock Peterson was sent to AAA. But for Grandy, man, value up, down, or the same?
I thought it was going to be a downgrade because I expected, a much better team in Los Angeles. They've got a lot of bats. Thought his playing time might not be quite as certain. But with Peterson getting sent down, I think it remains pretty much the same.
Man, he's red hot. This guy is so streaky. So I'm going to be starting him in, I think, three leagues this week. Corey Kluber, he's going to start this week. Not sure if it'll be against the Red Sox, but they are not worried about him starting. Max Scherzer. Max Scherzer is going to be joining the Fantasy Football Today podcast to promote an event later this week, Heath.
Yes, yeah. I'm looking forward. I went to that event last year. Very good cause, and you should listen to that. He's a super cool guy, just really, really intense. Don't say anything. We got to make sure we don't say anything dumb, Adam.
So how's the neck?
No.
Don't do that.
I think that would be bad. I don't think we should ask him about having two eyes that are different colors.
No, I think we should, because I believe the nickname on the back of his jersey, what they're doing, I think it's coming up this weekend, actually. Nickname weekend?
Yeah.
I think it's in reference to his eyes. Believe. But
you can ask that question.
Okay, fine. Yeah, so
I'm going to ask him to talk about the charity that he's raising money for.
Okay, yeah, softball. He's on the DL with a neck issue. They don't think it's a huge deal. Hopefully Scherzer will be back shortly. Josh Donaldson has made 3 appearances at shortstop. Holy cow.
What if he played shortstop like 17 more times the rest of the season?
Then he'd be eligible next year, and he would once again be a first-round pick, if not already.
Right.
This is enormous. He started at shortstop yesterday. They didn't have a DH. They were in the NL, but he made 2 appearances and then a start. So let's see what happens.
And Jose Bautista was at third, right?
Yes. Yes, he was.
So they've had Jose Bautista and Russell Martin playing third base this year.
Yeah, weird. Weird. Josh Donaldson, 2 appearances away from shortstop eligibility in CBS leagues. Aroldis Chapman is out as Yankees closer. I'm not sure if that's going to be permanent. Will you drop Aroldis Chapman?
No. No. No.
Okay. And I think Betances is a better addition than David Robertson.
I would think so.
Yankees hitting coach Alan Cockrell said he is not sure if the home run derby messed up Aaron Judge's swing. Only Judge knows. But he did say that it's not an issue, that Cockrell said it's not an issue anymore. But man, Judge has been terrible. Adam Wainwright on the DL. Luke Weaver going to start today, or going to start Wednesday. So Cody Bellinger's day today. I think he should be fine. I plan on starting Bellinger, sprained ankle. David Price had a setback. He may not be able to pitch again during the regular season. I am starting Masahiro Tanaka. He's coming off the DL to make 2 starts. Yu Darvish actually is on the DL but could start this weekend. It's a very minor thing. Dodgers, that's kind of their thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You just take a couple days off. They get more PTO than other teams' players do.
Robbie Ray is going to start at the Mets this week. Dylan Bundy, I mentioned that, you know, he's better on extra rest, so that's something to keep in mind. He will be on extra rest when he starts this week. Salvador Perez could be back this week. That's nice. Miguel Sano is on the DL with shin soreness and a stress reaction, actually, in his shin. That's usually not good. And Trey Turner set to begin a rehab assignment this week. So that is exciting. We might get Carlos Correa early September. Hopefully you're loading up for the stretch drive. All right, the most added list, Heath. Edwin Jackson, number 1. I don't trust him.
Here's the thing, and I it's kind of gone back and forth, but I thought I looked this morning and he wasn't showing up as a 2-start pitcher anymore.
Is that right?
I'm going to look again right now because it goes back and forth sometimes.
You are right. He is not showing up as a 2-star pitcher. I don't know why that would have changed, though.
I don't either.
With Strasburg back, maybe? But that's
I would just say if you picked up Edwin Jackson, first off, we told you not to. And second, you might just check and make sure he's still showing as a 2-star pitcher.
Huh.
Because you really wouldn't want to start him with 1 start against the Astros.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not starting him regardless, but
no, I'm not either.
Dellin Betances is number 2. I'm nervous to start him. For me, it's either going to be like Betances or you might want to start Senwan Oh over him. And
I'd probably start Betances over Senwan Oh.
Yeah, I probably would too, because I don't think they were giving Oh the save the last time he got the save. I think they were giving Matt Bowman the save. Bowman screwed it up. Oh came in and cleaned up his mess and got the save. That was after Oh struggled. I'm just nervous about Betances because I don't know how many of the save chances he will get. They have 6 home games. They have 6 games this week, not all at home. Patrick Corbin's number 3. It's about time. He's 85% owned. He's got 2 starts. He's RP eligible. He's pitching great, and he has great matchups. Corbin's a no-brainer.
Yep.
Clayton Richard. Yeah, no way. I'm not doing it. Look, I want to tell you a story, Heath.
Okay.
Little story about the podcast Points League. And last week I was facing the Dead Rabbits. And win and you're in. We were fighting for a playoff spot. I believe we're both in because another team lost. But he started Ty Block, Anthony Banda, Jake Odorizzi, and Julio Teheran. And he had Mark Leiter in as a reliever. Banda lost his 2nd start. I think Leiter, I'm not sure if he was supposed to make 2 starts, but he, I believe, lost his 2nd start. Not to pick on the Dead Rabbits. But when you start bad 2-start pitchers, first of all, there's always a chance they're not going to make that start, that 2nd start, because they're not good. And secondly, it just didn't work out. I mean, it could have worked out in another week, but you two starts from a bad pitcher, I just don't recommend it. I'd rather go with a one-star guy. Like, he benched Eduardo Rodriguez. He benched Garrett Cole. Now, those guys didn't do that well, but they did better than Odorizzi, negative 3 points. Then Ty Block, negative 8 points. Then Anthony Banda, negative 12.5 points.
It really, really, really depends on what situation you're in that week. Like,
I guess
sometimes,
but those are
you
terrible
know
pitchers.
You're, like, you're going up against the best team in the league, and you have a 5 one-start pitchers.
Yeah, well, that wasn't the case.
I understand.
I'm definitely not the best team in the league.
No, you're not.
Eddie Rosario is 61% owned. Now, here's something kind of weird on Rosario. So, yesterday he had a grand slam. The 57 games before that, he had a 990 OPS. So, we're talking 58 games of 1,000 OPS here for Eddie Rosario. Somehow, only 3 weeks in his last nine with more than 18 fantasy points. And that is not including All-Star Game week. So, some of this like big production has been concentrated over the last 2 weeks. But Rosario is another guy. Like, I laid out the case of sitting Conforto, sitting Brett Gardner. Are you going to start Eddie Rosario over those guys?
100%. I picked up Rosario, I think, Friday. And I'm starting him in our Roto League. He's, like, we can talk about what he's done over the last 50 games, over the last 60 games. He's hitting .303 with an .850 OPS for the season.
Yep.
He's just been good.
Yep. Only 50 RBIs. That's probably what's driving his fantasy production down. Would you rather pick up Rosario or Byron Buxton?
If I'm in the playoffs this week, I think I'd go with Rosario.
Byron Buxton has a 934 OPS in August. Small sample. Five walks to 17 strikeouts isn't that bad for Byron Buxton.
No.
And he has six steals.
Right.
In August. He's 49%.
I still think I'd go Rosario.
All right, if we could sum up the first 20 minutes or so, who do you think the must-add player? Let's repeat some names. The must-add players right now.
Well, Rhys Hoskins is only one percentage point more owned than Rosario, right?
Yeah, Rhys Hoskins must be added.
So I'd say he probably, like, we haven't mentioned him, so I did a bad job of summing up. I think Blake Snell, and you know how I felt about Blake Snell coming into the year. And it's kind of a Danny Salazar situation. Like, I was so, so wrong for the first 3.5 months, but now they look like they're finally maybe figuring it out.
Well, he moved to the middle of the mound. Blake Snell just, isn't that weird? I can't throw strikes. I'm just going to, it's like bowling. You know, you got to line up on the arrows.
Yeah.
He just lined up on the other arrow. And he's got six straight starts with two or fewer walks. And Snell is at St. Louis this week. I'm not sure that I'll start him, but.
I would start Snell over Luke Weaver.
I would not. Look, the thing about Snell is, like, he had a great start against the Mariners. Actually, it's been three in a row. You've been pretty satisfied with it. All right, I can accept that. But Weaver's got the Padres. The only thing I'm worried about with Weaver is that he hasn't started a big league game in a while. But if you look at the two starts he made, I'm just going to pull them up right now. He's 33% owned. 5 innings, 4 runs, 5 strikeouts against Arizona. I think all 4 runs came in the fifth in that start. And then 6 1/3, 2 runs, 8 strikeouts at Milwaukee. So look, you know what? Snell, Weaver, widely available. And both are good options. And I like them both better than Giolito.
Yeah, yes, I agree completely.
Chase Anderson is 78% owned. This is another guy. I know he's 78% owned, but you need to look in every league for Chase Anderson. For God's sake, he's got 2.83 ERA this year.
Yeah, that's not sustainable the way he's going about doing it. But this was a good start at Coors, and he should be universally owned.
Rhys Hoskins is absolutely a must-add. Sorry, Heath.
Yes, definitely Rhys Hoskins, Scott White's new favorite player. I think Rosario should be closer to 80% owned.
I really like DeShields in specific formats. I think he's almost guaranteed to get you steals. There's just one thing I know about Delino Shields: the guy can steal bases.
And two things: he can't hit.
He can't hit, but he's not as bad of a hitter as Rajay Davis. He's not one of those steals. He's not as bad of a hitter as Jerod Dyson. I think he's going to be better than those guys.
I don't know
with
about
regular
that.
At bats. I think he'll be better than those guys.
Okay, but you don't know that he's not a bad hitter because he's been a worse hitter over his career.
You're right, but I think he'll get on base. And
so we got two things we know and one thing we think.
Sure. I think Wilson Ramos, if you need a catcher, you better pick him up. He's 53% owned. He's 11 for his last 20 with two home runs, three walks, and two strikeouts and a double. And he's a catcher. So Wilson Ramos.
For sure.
Who else did we say earlier? Oh, I really think Granderson at this point. I actually don't even know what his ownership percentage is, but I picked him up in three leagues, Curtis Granderson, over the last 3 days. And I don't know that it's going to last, but when Curtis Granderson gets hot, it tends to last for a while. And Curtis Granderson is only 31% owned. I like it.
Seven
righties.
I would still rather own Rosario, but yes, 31% is way too low.
Granderson is only batting .235 in August, but he's got an OPS over 1,000 with seven home runs in the month of August. And okay, and Betances, I think, is someone you definitely want to pick up. All right, that's a pretty good summation. Let's see if I missed anybody on the most added list. I think we're pretty thorough here. Robinson Chirinos, 38% owned. I'm sure we'd rather have Ramos, right?
Yep, for sure.
Chad Bettis, 24% owned. I know he's had two good starts. I'm not really no. buying it now.
No.
Okay, I think that's about it. So we can move on and talk about some hitters, doubles and triple dongs from over the weekend. Manny Machado's pretty good.
Yeah, it's really weird how he figured that out after just being terrible for so long.
Three home runs and a walk-off grand slam all in one game on Friday. That was amazing. Justin Upton homered twice against the Dodgers on Friday. His consistency has been just a marvel this year. I can't believe what Justin Upton's doing. Great year for him. Did not expect it.
We've not talked enough about him.
Yeah, really strong year. And Jay Bruce has been pretty damn consistent, too. He homered twice at Kansas City on Friday. And Nick Delmonico had an inside-the-park home run, but he homered twice on Friday at Texas. What do you think about Delmonico? Interested?
Not particularly. I mean, it's not that difficult to find playing time on the White Sox, so that's a bonus. But like, this is an AL only guy.
Guess which first round pick had his first multi homer game of the year?
Which first round pick had his first multi homer game of the year?
Mm-hmm. You can just keep reading the notes; you'll find it.
Mike Trout,
first multi homer game of the year. It came Saturday.
We've been waiting
in Baltimore
for him to get hot.
Luis Valbuena homered twice at Baltimore on Saturday. Jesus Aguilar homered twice. I think you could probably leave Aguilar on waivers. He had three home runs at Coors Field this weekend. And Rugi got hot. Rugi always seems to save his best stuff for the weekends. Rougned Odor. You feel like, oh, I'm going to sit him next week. He's been garbage. And then he hits three home runs on Saturday and Sunday combined. Other hitters to talk about. Ian Kinsler's had a couple of good weeks in a row. All he had to do was rip Angel Hernandez. He stole two bases on Friday. He's three steals in his last four games. Hunter Pence is having a good August, Heath, batting .333 with four home runs. You care? He's 33% owned.
Yeah, I would not be as excited to add him as I am Granderson, right, or Rosario or Rhys Hoskins. The problem is, and it has always been with Hunter Pence, is his best format are points leagues, and points leagues are generally where you only sort three outfielders. In the current environment, I just don't think he's going to be somebody it's worthwhile.
Mike Napoli's heating up three home runs in his last five games. He was terrible. Terrible.
Hard pass.
That. All right, pass on Napoli. Brandon Phillips, hitting well since the All-Star break.
Yeah, he's been hot. I wonder if his playing time is going to be consistent down the stretch because they've got nothing to play for, and he's a veteran. But
all right, Brandon Phillips is 50% owned. Paul DeJong. Paul DeJong last 20. I mean, how do you not pick up Paul DeJong at this point?
People are still not picking up Paul DeJong?
No, I mean, he's 81% owned.
Okay.
It's appropriate.
Yes.
But look, the only thing he's batting .324 in his last 28 games, but but his walk to strikeout ratio sucks, and he's only got four doubles in his last 28 days, but he has eight home runs and he's a top five shortstop. But he's homering. He's using that power. He needs it. And Paul DeJong's been great. Like, I would start DeJong over Story if you're making that decision. I don't trust Story on the road. Story had a great week last week, and Scott and you both wisely advised me to start him over Ketel Marte. But I'm sorry, I just don't trust Story on the road. I don't think, because he had a lot of bad games too. I don't think this is like Story getting hot. I think it just was good matchups at home.
I would agree with that. I would start DeJong over Story unless Story has all his games at home.
Let's do some bullpen talk now. Okay, Senwon Oh. Look, they seem to have installed him as the closer, and then he stunk. And then he replaced a shaky Matt Bowman on Friday and got two outs and got a save. And he did issue a walk, but it was intentional. So I think Oh is the guy to own there.
Yes.
I think Brad Ziegler, I'm sorry, Heath, what were you going to say?
I'm not as confident as I was early in the year that Sungwan Oh eventually is just going to be fine.
Yeah.
But I do think he's the guy to get saves in St. Louis.
Yeah, and I think Brad Ziegler's the guy to get saves in Miami because Kyle Bearclaw keeps setting him up. Ziegler has six saves in August. Okay, the Angels are bullpen by committee. That's the only thing I can say. Bud Norris got a save on Sunday. Who got the save? Oh, Keenan Middleton was supposed to get the save on Friday, but he gave up the walk-off grand slam. Too many arms. And they're good ones, but too many arms.
You're not going to be able to accurately predict that.
Is Sam Dyson the closer in San Francisco? Melanson pitched the seventh yesterday.
I will stick with what I said last week, and that I think Melanson leads the Giants in saves in September. They are working him back in slowly, though, and if I needed saves this week, I would start Dyson over Melanson.
Roberto Ozuna gave up three runs and blew a save yesterday, but it wasn't really his fault. Gonna blame this one on his catcher. Two pass balls, or two, I think they're scored wild pitches, but twice Ozuna got a strikeout and the ball got away from his catcher. And the runner advanced. Kyle Schwarber scored on a wild pitch. So, bad catching. Gary Sanchez-esque. I can't imagine they're going to remove Ozuna, but he has been pretty rough since the All-Star break. Juan Manaea, if you're desperate for saves, Juan Manaea got two saves over the weekend for the White Sox. And you might want to start Juan Manaea over Sean Manaea if it came down to that. But Manaea's not a very good pitcher, I don't think.
No.
And Edwin Diaz, I mean, I suppose if you want to speculate, one more bad outing from Diaz, and I wouldn't be surprised if they took him out of the role for Nick Vincent.
I would be surprised. I think it's his job.
I do, but, yeah. I don't know. Keeps giving up runs. Vincent's got a 193 ERA, 0.99 whip. I'm just saying.
But can he do it in the ninth inning?
Probably not. I mean, it takes a lot to do it in the ninth inning. A lot of guts. More news and notes. Drew Pomeranz left Friday's start with back spasms. I'm not 100% sure. Can you do a quick Google search on Pomeranz? I think he's going to be able to start this week, but not sure. Brian McCann's going to be back on Thursday, and Evan Gattis started a rehab assignment. Carlos Correa could be back in early September. Yoan Moncada has sat two straight days with shin splints. The Mets called up Kevin Plawecki, who was doing very well in AAA. I don't think that's a surprise. And Darno's not so good, so I don't know. Maybe Plawecki could have like NL-only value.
Drew Pomeranz is scheduled to start on Wednesday.
All righty. That will be at Cleveland. Expected to. Okay. Scott Schebler's off the DL. And he might not get consistent playing time, but he has since coming off the DL at the expense of Winker. And Hunter Renfroe was sent to AAA. Joey Gallo, concussion protocol. I wouldn't start him this week. And the Yankees sent Jordan Montgomery to AAA. He should be back in September. Not sure what his role would be. All right, studs being studs. How confident are you in these three pitchers? Dallas Keuchel, who has the Nationals this week. Justin Verlander at the White Sox. Yes, please. And Jake Arrieta, who's just been pitching really well lately. How confident are you in Keuchel, Verlander, and Arrieta?
Well, Keuchel was right back to being his old self. Seven shutout innings and only striking out three. Looks just like him.
16 ground outs, one flyout. 16 ground outs, one flyout.
I feel exceptionally confident with the matchup against Washington. I haven't seen enough to tell me that he's just completely back to himself, but I'm probably starting him.
I'm definitely starting him.
Verlander is no question. He's been great, and he's against the White Sox. So, yes.
And Arrieta, you're starting, but it's just last nine starts for Arrieta, 2.03 ERA. Swinging strikes have been up a little bit in his last four starts. He's on fire.
Yeah.
All right. Studs being studs part two. These guys aren't quite as studly. But do you trust these guys? Rick Porcello against Baltimore this week. Jose Berríos at the White Sox. Trevor Bauer against Boston this week.
No chance I'm starting Bauer, and I know that he's had another good run to get his ERA down to almost league average. But every time you trust Trevor Bauer, boom goes the dynamite.
I don't know, man. He already had a good start against Boston.
Yeah,
recently, that's not last week
for me. I will. Barrios, I would feel okay with just because it's the White Sox.
Yeah.
And then Porcello's just right on the border.
Okay. Porcello had a good, very good start against the Yankees Sunday. In previous seven starts, he had a 3.61 ERA. He's pitching well. I don't think you have to dread starting Rick Porcello. You know what sucks, dude? I'm probably going to lose in the editorial league, the league that I just crushed this year. Because right. Keuchel's got one start, it's against the Nationals. DeGrom's got one start, it's against the Nationals. Those are my two best pitchers. And DeGrom's had two stinkers in a row. Any concerns?
Yeah. I hope he's not hurt, but that's always the concern when a Mets pitcher has two bad starts in a row because they might have been hurt for a month and the Mets just decided to let him keep pitching. You can't sit Jacob DeGrom in the playoffs.
No, of course not. But
so yes, I'm a little bit concerned, but still 8 strikeouts, no walks, and 6 1/3. I'm not that concerned.
Zach Greinke, yeah, he's been a little rough lately, except for one start. So three of his last four have been kind of rough. I'm sure we're gonna start Zach Greinke. Just a bit of a rough stretch for him. And we just talked about Danny Salazar, who has the Royals this week. He had a 1.39 ERA in 5 starts before a terrible start at the Royals yesterday.
Yeah, and I would not call it a terrible start. He got BABIP pretty hard.
He gave up 12. He gave up 12 hits and 6 runs in 4 2/3. How is that not a terrible start?
No, the results were terrible.
Uh-huh.
But it's not. It was not like a Danny Salazar can't throw a strike.
Okay.
The Royals. As Hawk would say, some Kansas City specials thrown out.
Okay. How about these guys? Tell me if you trust these next group of studs being duds. Kevin Gausman at Boston this week.
No.
He's so hot and cold.
Yes.
Jason Vargas. I'm done with Jason Vargas. Now he's been.
I can understand
that. He's been great against Cleveland, and that's his matchup this week. He's got a .87 ERA against the Indians this year, and he's at Cleveland. But I can't trust Jason Vargas. He's not good. He's not good, and it's all starting to show.
I would view him similarly to how I view Porcello this week.
Fair enough. Michael Wacha. Michael Wacha is home against Tampa Bay this week. He has a 2.99 ERA at home. His ERA on the road was 5.11 entering Saturday, and then he gave up 5 runs in 4 innings at Pittsburgh. He may have been affected by a rain delay. He pitched one inning, then there was a long rain delay, came back, and he struggled. But Wacha home against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I would put Wacha below Vargas and Porcello. He's more of a desperation start.
Why?
This week.
Why?
I don't trust him as much. He's not been as good lately, and Tampa Bay is not bad offensively. Tampa Bay is a good matchup.
No, they have been terrible. They have been so bad since second half.
Yeah, I don't necessarily believe in the whole team cold streak thing.
I think team overachieved in the first half, though.
That could be it.
They don't have Tim Beckham anymore.
Oh, that's
no. But Dickerson hasn't been playing well. Lomo's hasn't been playing well. Tampa Bay right now is a great matchup. Whether you buy that or not, I understand your viewpoint. But they've been, right. I don't know. I buy the home road splits for Wacha. I'd start him over Vargas.
But not Porcello?
No, I think I go with Porcello. I'm pretty comfortable with him giving me 6 innings, 3 runs.
Yeah.
Safe start. All right, let's do a Vargas versus Wacha bet.
Okay.
Can you remember? Because I'll forget.
Yes.
What's the bet? If I win, I don't have to be in the podcast for the People League next year.
Okay.
If you win...
You have to commission
it. I have to commission it. Oh,
okay.
God, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, that sounds like a good deal. Well, though, that's kind of mean to all the listeners that are going to be in it.
I suck at that league. Zach Godley was 4 runs
ungodly.
And 5 1/3. What'd you say?
Ungodly.
Yeah, he was. But 10 strikeouts. You concerned about him? I'm starting him.
I'm going to start him. I've never gotten as excited about him as Scott has. I don't know how high he is in Scott's rankings now, but he's basically an ace. And I'm not quite that sure about him.
Basically an ace. He does love him some Zach Godley.
Oh, Zach Godley and there's one other. I can't remember. Oh, it was Trevor Cahill before Trevor Cahill went to the Royals.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm I don't even know who his matchup is, but I'm sure I'm starting him.
I did not put that in the notes, but I am starting him. Rich Hill, since the All-Star break, he has a 3.27 ERA, but he's another guy who's going five innings almost every time. And no more than six and a third in six starts since the All-Star break. Four of those six starts, less than six innings. It's so annoying as a Dodgers pitcher. They just don't let these guys go deep into games. It's smart, but it's annoying for fantasy owners.
Yeah, it's not helping us out at all. It's kind of like the old running back committee.
But you got to start Rich Hill, right?
Yes.
And I'm going to start Brad Peacock at the Angels. Bad defense kind of doomed him, but he should have had a very good start against Oakland yesterday. All right, tell me who you want to pick up. Fringy starting pitchers. We got Sean Manaea at Baltimore. We got Hyunjin Ryu at Pittsburgh. Denelson Lamet at Miami. Armand Marquez at Kansas City. Luis Castillo against Pittsburgh. Parker Bridwell against Houston. Julio Teheran against the Rockies at home, where he has a 6.98 ERA, Julio Teheran. Jake Odorizzi's at St. Louis, and Colin McHugh is at the Angels.
I will go Castillo, Marquez, McHugh.
Yeah, I think McHugh at 75% owned might be under-owned.
Yeah, I think all three of those guys, because Castillo's 76, Marquez is 73. I think all of them should be higher owned than that.
Okay. Marquez on the road at Kansas City. Castillo has Pittsburgh. It's hard to trust the Nelson Lamet. It's hard to trust Sean Manaea, but it was nice to see him get on track a little bit at Houston. But only two strikeouts and two home runs allowed in six innings. Do you like either CeCe Sabathia or Ian Kennedy as we get to the Fringy starting pitchers part two? Sabathia 55% owned, Kennedy 59% owned. Sabathia has Seattle at home, Kennedy Colorado.
No, thank you. Hard pass.
All right. Let's see. Fringy starting pitchers part three. R.A. Dickey, home against Seattle. Jason Hamill at Cleveland. Matt Moore, home against Milwaukee. And J.C. Ramirez, if he's healthy. Actually, I don't think J.C. Ramirez is going to pitch this week. He left with a forearm injury, but he would have Texas. All right, Nicky, Jason Hamill, Matt Moore.
I guess probably Matt Moore would be my favorite, followed by Jason Hamill. You know I'm not trusting the knuckleball.
All right, but I just know I'm Matt. Well, just because he's at home, you're saying?
Yeah.
Hamill would be my favorite rest of season.
For sure.
At Cleveland this week, I don't know. And honestly, Dickey, like, he's been really good for a while now. He had a terrible inning against the Reds, otherwise pitched great. Terrible inning, three home runs, four runs, but it was six innings, four runs, nine strikeouts, eight hits. That's a bad start for Dickey. That's not that bad.
But if he's been really good for a long time now, shouldn't his numbers look better?
No, because he was awful. He's got a 3.98 ERA, dude.
His league average.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about Trevor Bauer's in like the 460s.
Right. I was not excited about Trevor Bauer.
No,
but at least Trevor Bauer gets a few strikeouts. He's got 105 strikeouts and 147 innings.
Yeah, he's not going to get you. Dickey's not going to get you strikeouts. Bauer's going to get you a lot. In deep leagues, players owned in less than 30% of leagues. Kendall Graveman. Chad Kuhl.
I know Chris likes him.
I know, yeah. Adam Conley. 18 swinging strikes at the Mets. By the way, the Mets are now one of the best matchups you can find. I mean, they are pathetic. Chad Bettis.
I like Conley for sure this week.
Oh, against the Padres. Ah. All right. Yeah, four quality starts in his last six and home against the Padres. All right, Conley's sneaky start. Chad Bettis, Travis Wood, Rafael Montero.
No, thank you.
Montero's someone to watch. He has a pedigree, a couple good starts in a row. We'll see. 4% owned. All right, Adam Conley if you're desperate. Kendall Graveman, home against Texas.
I would have to be pretty desperate.
All right. Let's see what we're doing today. What are you doing today? Any plans?
Well, I mean, there's the eclipse is happening today.
Yeah, the eclipse. That's right.
Are you excited about the eclipse?
Not even going to be able to see it in New York.
Oh, that's too bad.
I'm confused. Okay. I know that some of the states are going to see, you know, something.
Right.
Are all states going to see, like, a shadow or... I don't know.
It's kind of like the groundhog.
Yeah.
I know that, like, in Kansas City, where I'm from, it's going supposed to be, like, one of the prime viewing places in the whole country.
Yeah.
In Florida, I think we're supposed to see, like a 70% blockage.
Okay.
I could not really be less excited for the whole thing.
Well, here's the other thing I don't understand. If the moon is going to block out the sun.
Uh-huh.
Why are we not allowed to look?
Because your eyes, when you look at the sun, because sometimes you accidentally look at the sun.
Sure.
And your eyes are like, oh no, that's really bright, and they adjust. When the moon is blocking 80% of it, your eyes look at the sun, and your eyes are like, oh, that's okay, but that little sliver is still really bright.
I see.
Also, I think it might just kind of be a hoax. I've done some research, and I can't find anyone that actually went blind from looking at an eclipse.
It could be. Just something to scare the kids.
Yeah, my kids are not going to school today because of the solar eclipse.
What? Really?
It's a long story, but they are going to some scientific thing somewhere. Oh. It's a nice thing about having a kid that can drive. They're just all saying they're going there. They're probably having a party at my house.
What do you want them to do? Do you want them to go to the thing, or do you want them to party?
I don't really care. Don't break anything.
All right, twins at White. Is he a senior?
My daughter is a senior. Oh, I've got a sophomore as well, and then the 8-year-old.
Okay. Okay, twins at White Sox. So, T. Melville, what do you think his first name is?
Tim.
Tim Melville.
Former Royals prospect.
Okay, right. At Carlos Rodon.
I will start Rodon.
Alex Wood and Garrett Cole. Ooh, Garrett Cole. Tricky one here against the Dodgers.
Yeah, I'm starting him.
All right, Chris Smith and Wade Miley.
No, thank you.
Diamondbacks at Mets, Taijuan Walker and Robert Gazelman.
I am definitely starting Taijuan Walker.
Eduardo Rodriguez and Mike Clevenger.
I think I'd start both.
Mariners at Braves. And we've got Fulton Nevich at home and Andrew Albers on the road.
I wouldn't mind letting Fulte loose.
I have to start Fulte. He's got two starts this week. I have to start him. I mean, yep. I literally have no other starting pitchers because Lester went on the DL. So that sucks. And I looked. There's nobody on waivers. Dylan G and Carson Fulmer, twins at White Sox.
No.
No. They have a doubleheader today, so yeah. Rangers at Angels, Cole Hamels and Tyler Skaggs.
Definitely starting Hamels. Skaggs is borderline.
Brewers at Giants, Zach Davies, Chris Stratton.
No thanks.
No on Davies? Davies has been pretty solid.
I understand.
Giants.
Fine.
You don't have to.
I don't care.
Davies is 80% owned, actually. You don't care.
That's,
all right.
That seems a little high.
80%?
Doesn't it?
Yes. But he's two starts, so I get
That's
it.
That's true.
See, like, I don't think starting Zach Davies in a two-star week is the worst idea. Like, I don't think it's like starting Ty Block.
Did you just give us a whole thing starting bad pitchers?
I think he's better than those bad pitchers. And considering one of the starts is against the Giants, like, I'm fine with it. Let's see.
That's true.
Let's
see
what the other
one. Maybe I'm not being fair to Zach Davies.
Ooh, the other one's at the Dodgers, though.
Let's see. He's got a sparkling 4.26 ERA. He's struck out an outstanding 93 batters in 143 innings. No, I was being pretty fair to Zach Davies.
Well, let's see what he's done since the All-Star break.
That's definitely more predictive.
Well, I mean, a guy gets hot, you know. Since the All-Star break, he's got a 2.91 ERA.
But how many strikeouts does he have in how many innings?
You know what? The bottom line is if you add up the walks and the strikeouts, then you're at one per inning. 30 strikeouts and 46 and a third for Davies. Yeah, okay, look, bat missers, guys that don't miss bats, non-bat missers, it comes around to bite them. It does. I just don't think tonight's going to be the night.
Probably not. I could understand starting him. I'm not saying that you're wrong.
And let's finish up with some emails. This is from Isaac. Is it absurd to drop Kyle Seager for Rhys Hoskins for the playoff run? I didn't mention Kyle Seager, but he's risky this week. So Kyle Seager had a bad stomach virus. He lost like 12 pounds. He's come back and played two games, and he went 2-for-10. I don't like, and he had been hitting really well. He had basically been Kyle Seager before that. But I don't know that I'd start him this week. I'm not sure I'd drop him for Hoskins. Like, if you took the stomach virus out of it, or whatever kind of virus it was.
It would be crazy.
Yes. But this week, if you need to win, I don't know that it's crazy to drop Seager. I'd like to sit him for Hoskins and not drop him for Hoskins.
Yes, but it sounded to me like if you're not starting either one of these guys, then I think I'd just hold on to Seager.
All right, this is from Dan. 12-team head-to-head categories league, first week of the playoffs. All right, he needs to sit one of these guys. This is tough. This is really tough. Sit one. Jackie Bradley, Cameron Maben, Tommy Pham, Byron Buxton, Aaron Hicks.
Definitely not Bradley. Definitely not Pham.
Bradley had a good weekend, but really had like a full month of being garbage.
I'm starting Bradley. I'm starting Pham. Right. I'm starting Buxton.
Maben has been day-to-day, so that could help your decision if he's not in the
lineup. I think
I'm
starting
today.
Hicks.
Yeah. Now Hicks, I like Hicks, but he has not helped. He had a bad week.
He
has not helped my case. And finally, Dan actually also asked, any chance Brett Honeywell starts since Faria is on the DL?
I would assume they're going to call up their AA janitor because they don't want Brett Honeywell in the major leagues.
Well, I think Alex Cobb comes off the DL this week, too. So, Odorizzi's back, Cobb. Yeah, I think they can get by without it, without Honeywell. From Antoine, 10-team head-to-head categories league, first place. Will be in first place for the playoffs. Which of these two players would you count on in the playoffs? Eddie Rosario, Aaron Hicks. I think he meant which two players would you count
on? Two of four, yes.
Eddie Rosario, Ahmed Rosario, Aaron Hicks, Rhys Hoskins.
I'd go Eddie Rosario and Rhys Hoskins.
Yep, I think you got to do that. All right, Heath, thank you very much. Good stuff. Hoskins, by the way, one more walk than strikeout so far. He's been really good. Heath, goodbye.
It's really been a blast. Great outro.
And yeah, well, I'll tell you, I'll give you a better one. To sum up what we said earlier in the show, I hate Scott White, I hate Chris Towers. See you later.